How many of you have ever received a blessing? Okay, very good. You answered right. We've all received blessings, and every day, every moment in a sense. But have you ever received a word of blessing or a prayer of blessing from someone else? Someone speaking a word of blessing toward you in the name of the Lord. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, or you think maybe I'm kind of stepping off in a strange area, let me remind you of how filled the scriptures are with situations where people are blessing other people in the name of the Lord. In the opening pages of the book of Genesis, you'll recall Melchizedek blesses Abram, and blesses Abram and Abram's God, but blesses Abram in the name of God, that Abram would be blessed by the Lord, his God. The patriarchs throughout the book of Genesis are blessing their children, and in quite specific ways, in the name of God, they bring forth blessings on their children. Abraham blessing his children, Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau, of course, the very famous scene there. But then Jacob down in Egypt blessing his sons and grandsons very particularly, and blessing them in the name of God, blessing them with particular kinds of future, and blessing them with God's care. In the story of Israel, you find it so many times. When the Moabites hear about the Israelites coming through, you remember how Balak wants to hire Balaam to bring a curse on God's people. But Balaam, rather than cursing God's people, continues to speak words of blessing in the name of God, to bless the nation, that the nation will be fruitful, that the nation will be strong. And in the opening pages of the Gospel of Luke, when Mary comes to see her kinswoman Elizabeth, and Elizabeth feels that babe within her leap for joy, John the Baptist, of course, you might remember how she blesses Mary, her kinswoman, as the one that has been honored by God to give birth to the Lord. Jesus takes the little children in his hands, and he blesses them. And the writers of the New Testament, nearly every letter, speak words of blessing to the recipients of the letter. So often, we just read over them because they're so familiar to us, but every time we hear those words, grace and peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're reading about God's blessing, the name, the blessing of God extended in the name and by the power of God on God's people. My first experience, I think, in kind of being asked to give a blessing was when we were living in Kenya, and we were meeting, I think the first time it happened, there was a group of graduates, and we got together to honor the graduates from the missionary families in the city of Nairobi, and rather than giving presents, every family was asked to bring a blessing. Bring a blessing. Write out a blessing that you'll give to the teenager, and then just read your blessing. Speak that word of blessing. And it's just asking God. It's, in a sense, a prayer on behalf of that individual for God's grace, God's mercy, God's guidance, depending on the particular occasion, for example. Just words of love and support, asking for God to be involved in that person's life. In our congregation here, there have been several times that Ellen and I have been asked by parents to write blessings for their children, oftentimes at birthday time. And I think most of these things have been private, where maybe notebooks or booklets are given to young people, where those that are older in the faith, or maybe their parents or grandparents in the faith, can say, here's our word of counsel. Here's what we pray that God will do in your life. And it really is an honor when you have the opportunity as one of God's children to have the same desires for good and the same desires for God's purpose to be fulfilled in others' lives, and to speak those words. Perhaps the most famous blessing in all of Scripture is the priestly blessing that's found in Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. It'll be very familiar to every one of us. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons, This is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." And then God says, "So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. You know, God is the one who designates the blessing here in number 6. God is the one who gives the words to Aaron and his sons and those that will follow in their footsteps. And it reminds us of how much God wants to bless his people. God loves his people. God loved Israel. He loved them. He loves his people in Christ. He longs to bless. God is a God who longs to extend grace and compassion and mercy and provision. And it's so important to know that about God. God may not certainly be concerned with our temporal earthly happiness. God wants us to be happy, not necessarily, but God wants the best for those that are his. God wants the best for his people. And he's a God who longs to be abundant in that grace. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, verse 10, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, or have it to the full. That's what God wants us to experience by our faith in him. In this blessing in Numbers chapter 6, the blessing comes through other people. In this case, intermediaries or mediators, and of course, particularly here in number 6, it's the priestly family of Aaron and his sons. Today, God often blesses through intermediaries, and we'll come to this in just a moment. But remember, we are a chosen people, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We in Christ are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that we can declare the excellencies of him who's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But God has placed the church in this world as his intermediaries here and now in behalf of what he longs to grant this earth as we share the good news of Christ. And the blessing that we read here in Numbers chapter 6 is possible only because of the name of God and the activity of God and God's action in this. Note in verse 27, God says, so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Three times in this very brief blessing, the name of the Lord is repeated. Yahweh or Jehovah, the Lord, the covenant name of the God of Israel. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord turn his face toward you. And God says, by placing my name on my people, then I will come and bless them. But it's the Lord who has the power to bless. Those who speak words of blessing have no power in themselves to bring about that blessing, but ask for that blessing by placing the name of God, the Lord God, on those that are the recipients of those words and of that grace. So God's people are marked as belonging to him, and then God longs to bless them. The nature of this blessing is very simple, and yet it encompasses pretty much everything in our lives. The Lord bless you. Interestingly, though this is a blessing we would think is for the nation, throughout this text the word you is singular, not plural. This isn't the blessing on the crowd, though certainly everyone in that crowd is blessed. It's significant that the word is singular, because God is saying as he looks at his people, I want to bless you and you and you. The Lord bless you, each individual that makes up that group of his covenant people. He wants his concerns for us are personal, and they're individual, aimed at our own life and our own situations. Blessings, of course, are enumerated. As you read through the Old Testament, especially the Pentateuch and in Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we understand the kind of blessings that God is talking about here. God longs to, he wants to provide for his people. He wants to make sure they have food and clothing and shelter. He wants to bring them into a land. He wants to fulfill his promises for them. He wants to provide for their needs. And those that wear his name, he says, that's what I long to do. The Lord bless you and keep you. The word keep here means to guard, to protect, to watch over, to keep from evil, to keep from temptation, we might think. For the nation of Israel, it might be to keep them from calamity, to keep them from invasion, to keep them protected from their enemies. And though certainly, whether in the Old Testament or the New, God's people are never immune to suffering and problems, but at the same time, God ultimately protects. God protects us in the sense that he watches out for our spiritual well-being and our ultimate destiny. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Throughout the Old Testament, and especially the Psalms, the Hebrew metaphor of the shining face of God is just a way of speaking of this brightness in the face of God as his inward delight toward us, God's acceptance of his people, and the brightness of his countenance, the purity of his countenance as it's directed toward his people is a sign of God's acceptance and his desire to show goodness to his people. And so the blessing says, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's the result. When God's face shines upon you, his grace is poured out on your life. And that is what this blessing is all about, for God's goodness and grace to go with his people. The Lord turn his face toward you. This is a word that expresses a wish for the favor of God's divine approval. Think, for example, of how often you read in the Old Testament the alternate saying, the Lord turned his face away from whoever. The Lord turned his face away from Jeroboam. The Lord turned his face away from Israel in their idolatry. When the Lord turns his face away, it's a sign of displeasure. It's a rupture in fellowship. There's some sin. There's something that's disturbing the relationship between God and his people. But this is a prayer for the blessing that God will turn his face toward you, that God will look in your direction, at you, that he will put his gaze upon you and in that relationship long to give you the approval of that he finds in your faithful life. And as he turns his face toward us, the blessing says, and give you peace. And give you peace. That's the desired result of God's recognition and God's blessing. It's that singular word in the Old Testament that encompasses so much. Peace, shalom, that complete sense of well-being in every aspect of your life. Your life is right with God. Your heart is right and pure. Your relationship with God is as it should be. You're living faithfully in covenant, and God is responding by giving you that sense of well-being that helps you to deal with any difficulty that you're facing in life. That's the ultimate goal for God's people, to be right with him and to have this sense of shalom, this sense of peace. And we all long for that blessing. We all long to be blessed by God and to know these blessings that are pronounced here in the Old Testament. We long to feel his protection. We long to see a shining countenance looking at us. We long to see God turning toward us and protecting us and guarding us and giving us peace and being gracious to us. And through Jesus Christ, especially how we've come to know these blessings, through the blood that Jesus shed for us, our sins have been forgiven. We are brought into a covenant relationship with God wherein we truly do have peace with God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And as people who have been blessed so greatly, as we read this blessing tonight, I hope we would think of how many people need this divine blessing in their own lives. Those who may be struggling, those who are hurting, those who don't know the Lord. As priests of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we can mediate these blessings. We can, first of all, just by living a life of grace toward others, of living a life that blesses other people through our words, our actions, our attitudes, caring for people the way that God cares for people and desiring the best for people just as God desires the best for us, to treat people the way God has treated us and with that same kind of unconditional love. Think about your relationship with people. All the people in your life, the different people in different relationships, and ask yourself the question, am I a source of blessing to the people who know me? Am I a source of grace and peace? Am I a source of encouragement to the people that I interact with? Start close to home. Start in your family life, because sometimes that's where we forget to apply some of these principles that we're very quick to apply to those. Maybe they're even strangers, but start even within our family life. Am I a source of grace and, and compassion and the love of God and the blessing of God and the peace of God in my relationship with the people in my family, with my friends, within the church? Am I a force for peace, for blessing, for grace? Am I someone who comes into the body of Christ, and where I go, there is the love of God that's spread? That's a very important way within the body of Christ, as we treat one another, that we can truly be sources of this blessing. But another way is to follow the admonition that we do read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where Peter tells us that we are a royal priesthood, that we have a role to declare the excellencies of God to those who are still in the darkness, to tell them. That's one of the roles that we have in the church today. The priesthood of all believers is that priests are mediators. We're mediators of the grace of God by living the gospel out in this world and then by sharing the good news. Evangelism. Evangelism is offering the blessing of God on people. It's opening up the gospel to people and letting them understand who God is and how God wants to bless their life. How better to impart peace to people whose lives have no peace, people who don't know the Lord, than to be the mediators, the intermediaries of God's grace in this world, to speak those words. And another way that we can bless is to speak words of blessing on others. Not necessarily always in a formal way, though those occasions do come around on occasion, but in our speech, in our prayers for one another. When we pray for one another, is it not offering up a blessing? Is it not asking for God's blessing upon someone when we lift them up in prayer to the Lord? And then we can even, at times, speak words of blessing by being encouraging to one another, speaking words within the body that build people up, that encourage them, that help them to sense and to experience the love of God. And when it's appropriate to speak words of blessing upon those that you love in special moments, we have one of those special moments tonight with Jared and Karen and with Naomi and Elisha. And in just a few moments, we'll be gathering in the fellowship hall and just sharing a meal together, sharing memories together, wishing them the very best. But tonight, we would like to bless you with the words that God himself spoke as a blessing upon his people. Jared and Karen and Naomi and Elijah may be up in the upstairs right now or in class, but the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. We place the name of the Lord God of Israel, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, upon you as children of God, knowing that God will bless you and keep you and give you peace. That's our prayer for your family tonight. And may we all look for opportunities throughout this week to bless others, to bless them in the name of the Lord, to be forces of grace and compassion in this world. And if there are any who need to respond to the grace of God, to a God who longs to bless, we invite you as we stand while we sing.